What a joy it is. What a pleasure it is to come back together, all you beautiful women. And I look around this room tonight and I see these beautiful women, and you just heard such a story. Everybody's got a story here. Everyone has a story that you, and many of you tonight, I see you, Ariel. I love you. You got a story and God's working on it. God's working on that story. But I look around and 100% of you beautiful women and men that have been on a journey of life, many battle scars that we all have. Many of you are in a battle right now. You come into this place, and what I love about what happened when we started, there was such a worshipful. It was like a soaking immediately. It's been so beautiful. We prayer services last week. One thing that's changed in our church in the last 3 years is the prayer has been upped. And the fight has been harder. But there's been such a soaking in the presence of God. And we were assured that he was going to show up and that he was going to minister to everyone that came that had an open heart. And so, but I know that as you sit through this conference, I believe with all of my heart that some of you, maybe most of you, are going to have an encounter, a moment with God, because that's what we prayed for, that God would meet you where you would allow him to meet you. And so I believe that there's going to be God moments, and it's going to change the perspectives about how God is going to turn things around. And you're going to begin to say, in the middle maybe of your battle, you're going to begin to say that what the enemy has meant for bad, I can see that God means it for my good. I believe that it is so. So I'm going to keep on walking because I know that he has got a plan for my life. You know, Joseph, remember Joseph in the Word of God. Genesis 50, and I'm not going to read it. We're just going to talk a little bit here about it. But remember when he spoke to his brothers and about his brothers, when they came in, he had all these hurts inside of him, all those hurtful remarks and all those actions. And it was an amazing time in his life. And when you read about Joseph, you see where he started at A and he went all the way to Z. There were so many things that happened. And on our journey of life, you know, we may be at Q. You know, who knows exactly where we're at, but we're all on a journey of life. And Joseph, he had the favor of God in his life, even though he was sold into slavery. Can you imagine? And his brothers were so mean and so hateful. And I know that Joseph had a problem. He had a little bit of pride, and he was a young boy, and he just blurted out what his dream was. He just wanted to tell everybody, be careful that you who you tell your dreams to. But he told his brothers, and they made fun of him. But they just didn't like Joseph. They didn't like the fact that he was favored. And, you know, there's others not going to like it because you're favored. They're going to wonder, what are you doing to get the favor? Well, sometimes the favor of God is not fair. It's in the eyes of how somebody else sees it. But God wants to favor you. He wants to favor every one of us because he loves us so much. But Joseph could see the favor of the Lord as he went along in his life. Remember, he eventually became a ruler in Egypt. You know, I mean, here we are that he was in a pit. And he had this long journey, and he ends up being sold into slavery. And then the next thing you know, as his journey goes on, if you've lived to be 20 years old, you've already had quite the journey. If you've lived to 30 or 40, you've really had a journey. And I won't go past that, but we've all had journeys. I don't want to talk about it, you know. But pain, betrayal, and adversity is not something that should be wasted. Joseph did not waste all of those trials and all of those things in his life. Joseph's life created growth in him, taught him how to love rightly, and taught him how to forgive. My goodness, if you wonder why you have to forgive so many people, be of good cheer. It's a good thing when we have been betrayed or someone said something hurtful, and then we come to that place where we can either bless them or curse them. And we have a choice. And that's what Joseph had when his brothers came. They were starving. And they came and they didn't even know that he was the one they were coming before. They didn't know that. But when Joseph saw them, his heart was smitten. There were those wretched brothers that were so ugly to him. There were those ones that had hurt him so much. And here they were wanting food. He went through all the struggles, I'm sure, in his heart and his mind. And you read and you find out this, how Joseph, you know, he would tell them, go do this, do that. And they needed food, so they did. You know, they went, and it was costly for them. But it was costly for Joseph because he was wrestling with his emotions. Some of you are sitting in this room tonight. You're wrestling with your emotions because you've been hurt in the past. It's not been fair. What has happened to you is not good. It means, though, that if we will let God have our lives, take what we will give him and offer forgiveness where somebody, maybe those brothers really didn't deserve to forgiveness, did they? They really deserved in the natural to say, you know what, that's your problem. Go on back. But that wasn't what he did. See, God wanted to use Joseph to show his mercy and to show his grace. Because what God spoke to him in his dream did come to pass. Those things that God has spoken to you, they might be on hold while we grow up. But it does mean that if God spoke it, it will come to pass. Our scars are great storytellers. All of us have had scars in our life. They tell the stories of our struggles and trials and tribulations, every hurt, every betrayal that we've ever had, every rejection that we've ever felt in our life, all the pains that we've had. But scars will inform other people as that we encounter along the way. Your scars can testify of what God is doing in your life. We're not strangers to pain. We're not strangers to grief. We're not strangers to heartache. We're not strangers to sorrow. We're not strangers to loss and despair. But scars can also tell the story of victory. That's what our scars are so important, because they're testimonies of where we have been. They relay the message that we've been through a storm, but we survived. We're still here. Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, he said, let us go across to the other side. He knew there was going to be a storm. He already knew it was going to happen. And when his frightened disciples, they woke him up he just gets up, he speaks peace. He rebukes them a little bit, but he speaks peace to the situation. And this message today still resounds to you and I, because we get in the middle of our storms and we know God has given us a word to go on over that. This is what I want you to do. We get going and then the storms come. We get ready to have a conference and there's a hurricane that almost tries to come through. But God still, if we will just trust him, peace will begin to enter. Because I believe that storms are what changes us. When we calm down, have you found out that storms don't always stop? But he'll come in and calm us. He'll calm us in the middle of the storm. Peace be still to the storm, but more than anything, peace be still to my children. Amen. The struggle in us will begin to calm down. John 14, 28 says, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid, because let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Scars show us that we've suffered through the pain, but we made it through. The scars of our life show us that we wandered in the lowest valleys. We've been in the desert times of our life. It's hot. It's dry. And like Michaela says, we feel like nobody cares. We've been in those lonely places, those dry places. But we didn't make it on our own. Just like she said, God said, I was with you all the time. I get right down here on the ground where you're at. Just like Jesus stooped over to the woman that was accused of adultery. And he got down and he began to write. He got down where she was at. That's what he does for us. He gets down right where we're at. He sees our struggles, scars. Our proof that our stories are true, that they happen. But we didn't make it on our own. Our scars are personal. Your scars are personal to you, but God hasn't left you because he sees every tear. He sees every hurt, every time you've cried. His ear is listening to our cry. His eye is watching us. Yeah. Jesus' own nail-scarred hands and feet are a confirmation that wounds will make scars. And it's a crucial part of our story. Scars matter because they teach us that there's no rainbow without rains. There's no crown without a cross. One of the disciples that probably gets a whole lot of people think that he's the doubter. They call him Doubting Thomas. But I think it's interesting because we probably have all had this phase for a little bit, every one of us, for a moment, because we all are looking for something. Now, Thomas, in John 20, 24 and 25, says this, one of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He wasn't that much different than us. Because we felt that way sometimes, but God says, if you look around, you'll see miracles all around you. We'll see all around you scars, battle scars, where people have been. They've been somewhere. But Thomas, you know, Jesus' scars were a reminder to his disciples and to us that Jesus understands, he knows, and he has compassion for us when you and I are in the middle of our brokenness. That's what God did for me more times than one. Isaiah 43:2 reminds me and reminds us of God's promise. When you pass through the waters, it says pass through the waters. How many waters have you been in? I've been in a lot of them. And sometimes they're up to here and I wonder, am I going to make it through? Am I going to get through the water? But he says, when you pass through the water, I'm not going to let you drown. I'm going to be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Sometimes it seems like it's swift. It's coming in like a flood and that it's going to take us under. But the word of God, we can declare it. It says, they will sweep over you when you walk through the fire. Have you ever been in a fiery furnace? We maybe haven't been in the literal one like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We may not be in that literal one, but we have been in situations of our life where it looked like that it was going to bring us down. It was going to burn us up. But we have not been burned according to the word of God. And the flames will not set you ablaze. In other words, it will not destroy you. It will not get rid of you because you're still here, right? Our scars remind us of our past. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, I did something that reminded me for many years. That I had lied to my mother. I know nobody else would do something like this. But it made an impression on me because God, you know, these little children, you know that young man that gives an offering every mission? He works hard to get his money. And we're getting ready to go on a mission trip, and he gave $125 times four to everyone that's going on that trip. Again, and he gave on the last one, $400. But he's got hold of something. Got hold of something. Interesting, isn't it? But we remember things. I'd lied to my mother. I had tried shaving my legs with a two-edged razor blade. No razor. It was a blade. Just a blade. And I sliced my thigh right in here, and I couldn't stop bleeding. Ever messed up in life so much you thought you'd never stop bleeding? Well, I needed help quickly, so I concocted a story. I'm sure you've never done that one either. I remember stealing a cookie one time, and man, I repented over that for a long time. It was in one of the church members' house, and I just was really careful. Took the lid off of the cookie jar very easy. And I thought that they didn't hear me, but I'm not so sure. But he saw me. See, that's what I said about the young person. See, God deals with our children. If we're teaching them the Word of God, God is dealing with them. I thank God that he dealt with me when I was a young girl. But I couldn't stop the bleeding, so I needed help. So I got the story. We had a little metal footstool, all metal. And I don't know, might be like a little milking cow stand. I don't know. It was only about this high. And on the underside of it, it was round. And on the other side was a sharp edge. And so I threw that. You don't believe this hardly, do you? Chris, you don't ever believe I would have done that. You do believe me? Okay, thank you. It's really true. But I threw it in the floor, and I screamed for help. See, she believed me, I guess, but that scar was on my leg for many years, and every time I looked at it, I remembered I lied to my mother. See, scars sometimes are our own fault. Some of the things that we do are our own fault. But many years later, I've lived somebody told me the other day that I lived 3/4 of a century. You all don't believe that, right? No. What are you laughing about? if I'm not, I think you're at least a half a century plus. That's really great news, isn't it? That's why I'm so excited about all the young ones. But I learned a valuable lesson. See, our journeys is lessons. Our scars can point to many things. Sometimes it is our own doing, but other times it's because of something that's happened in our life. But they're a reminder that we've come through some battles, but we're still here. 2 Corinthians 4:7-10, and then verse 17. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's right, girl. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. Verse 17 says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing. And you wonder what the world's going on? It's preparing you for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's good news. Scars are evidence. Of battles fought, battles that are won. In other words, it's a thing that is transforming us, because those things that trauma that we've been going through, that is a sign of an endurance. It's a testimony to somebody else. You look at somebody's life and you said, I don't know how in the world they're holding up. I don't know how they're getting through it. It's because they are going through a light, momentarily affliction, but God is still looking after them. He's still on the throne. He wants to get us through that. Scars are symbols of redemption. Rather than signs of shame, scars can represent new beginning, showing how God, our life, can be bring purpose out of our brokenness, our broken times. Scars are storytellers of survival. Scars show that you and I are not a stranger to pain, but that we survived it. Then scars, and number four, can represent lessons learned through suffering, encouraging, humility, and patience, which means we are waiting. We know that he will bring to pass in our life those things which he has told us and promised us. Friday night, on January the 23rd, I write down when I have dreams or when God gives me something prophetic. I will write it down in the night. But I had a dream and someone had a bad report. And the doctor had said that it was terminal. It's like I was just listening in. I was listening in to people talk. And I was looking around to see who all was in the room. And I wondered if it was Daryl. By the way, they were crying and they were whispering and talking. But then a doctor came to me and he told me that there was nothing that they could do for me. All the tests that they had run on me were conclusive. Because of the deep wound from a bull, it had impaled me. And over the years, it had caused irrevocable damage. In my mind, in a dream, isn't it something how you can think when you're dreaming? In my mind, I began to think that maybe I must have had stage 4 cancer. Cancer must have returned. Or some other terminal disease. You know, those instants of panic. I felt it for a moment. But when I heard the report about the bull, because it was a lot of bull, impelling me, my words was, is that all, Deva? Is that it? Is that all there is? Just because a bull impaled me and I have scars from it? Is that it? Is that what your report is? Is that what you're talking about, devil? But I begin to, in my dream, I begin to say, I'm going to live. I'm not going to die. I'm going to declare the miraculous works of God. What the devil meant to take me out with is now my song of restoration. Yes. The wound is deep. Yes, it affected my health. Yes, it brought back memories that the old enemy would try to break when I would be rejected by people that I loved. But it's that old devil that will try to bring back that spirit of depression you've been delivered from. Try to bring back that abandonment again that you got victory over. But I always remember what God has already done in my life. And I see when the devil is pointing and trying to diagnose me with an old scar. When that old scar is my testimony. And it's not my diagnose. It was the diagnose of a lying devil. Because he will come to us when God sets us free. And he will do his very best to get us to believe that that thing's coming back on me again. Oh, no. We say, oh, no. No, it's not coming back because I am delivered. I am healed. I am free in Jesus' name. Because God has already done something in my life. And he's done something in your life. And the enemy will tell you. But remind him of what God has already done. Scars still speak. Scars don't show up overnight. Scars mean something happened. Scars mean there was pain, there was pressure, and there was a process. When you've been scarred, it's a process. But here's the shout. Worship team, would you get ready? Here's the shout. If you've got a scar, that means you survived a wound. If you didn't die in it, If you didn't stay broken by it, you didn't get buried in it, you and I are still here. When the enemy tries to tell you that you're not going to make it, that it's been too hard, that which you have gone through is too much, you let him know that God's got you. Amen. Amen. They're scars, but they are not bleeding anymore. Scars are proof of victory. Even when Jesus got up out of the grave, even after the stone was rolled away, even after death was defeated, he kept the scars. He had the scars. That was his testimony. That was what he showed his disciples. And that's what he shows us today. That he paid the price for us so that you and I can be victorious in this life. He uses those scars as a testimony. Our scars are for our testimony. There are people that are looking at you and they're saying, I don't know how she made it, but she's still here. There are those that are saying, I don't know, after listening to their stories, why they could possibly, how they could still have the joy of the Lord, how they could still prophesy, how they could still sing the song of redemption, how they could still lift their hand when they've been in prison, when they've been broken, when that no one seemed to care, nobody suffered with them. It's the water. Testimony. Testimony. Scars are proof of our victory. John 20, 27. Jesus says, reach here your finger and behold my hands. He's saying, the scars that I showed Thomas, they were testifying to him. Scars that you got on your life, that bull, that big bull that gored you, that tried to impale you, tried to stop you, tried to point out all of the reasons that you couldn't succeed, all the reasons why you can't do what God called you to do. But oh yes, you can. Jesus didn't get mad because Thomas, he didn't get mad. I mean, he might have made a remark, but he wasn't mad at Thomas, because he knows that once Thomas saw, he was just as strong as that one that believed without seeing. Jesus didn't hide his scars. He presented them. They were evidence that the nails didn't win. The cross didn't win. The grave did not win. The scars proved that the battle was already won. See, this Beyond the Scars conference is to tell somebody, you don't have to be ashamed of what God brought you through. See, God brought you through. We're on a journey. Sometimes it takes some longer than others in a journey. It doesn't matter, as long as you just keep journeying. As long as you don't give up. As long as you don't let the devil's lies stop you. As long as you just keep going and saying, oh, it's not by might, but it's by the power of the living God that's in me that can work. And I will not give up. Divorce didn't kill you. You're still here. Grave. Addiction didn't destroy you. Maybe you weren't addicted, but probably everybody's been addicted to something. Been something in our life that we put up here before Jesus Christ. But that addiction in your family that you're struggling with your son, your daughter, your spouse, your mother, your father, somebody. But see, addiction hasn't destroyed you. Loss and depression didn't bury you. Oh my goodness. Almost put me in a mental hospital. But it didn't. You did it. I'm still here. Scars are testimonies of survival. You've all been through something. Our scars speak when words fail. Jesus didn't argue with Thomas. He didn't debate him. Look at my hands. See, sometimes our scars, somebody watching their life and saying, if they can do it, I can do it. Because I've watched how they still love Jesus, how they still went to the sanctuary. I see how they still raise their hands in worship when I know they didn't feel like it. But they just kept on. They just kept pushing through. You don't need a microphone to preach. Because, see, your life's a sermon. The way you smile, it speaks. Sometimes when life is hard, it's hard to do that. The way you worship like a fool when your world is falling apart around you. But you're not worshiping to get something because you already got it. You got the man that loves you. You got a heavenly father that says, I love you. Come on now, you can get through. The lies that the enemy's telling you aren't true because I've already taken care of that for you. It's just the devil that's lying to you. We've made it through. So that's how Beyond the Scars became a conference. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tomorrow night. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear. I will declare what he has done in my soul. Oh, I wish above all things that you would prosper as your soul prospers. How does my soul prosper? By beginning to read the Word of God and begin to speak out what the Word of God says about you, not the lies of the enemy that caused those huge scars in you, but you begin to speak what Jesus spoke. Say what the Word says about your situation. See, scars creates ministry. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforts us that may be able to comfort them? God never wastes pain. God is a storytelling book, the Bible. Real life, real people. Stand to your feet with me tonight, will you? The place that you cried the most, that's the place you're going to help others with the most. He wants to turn your pain into ministry. My goodness, God will give you a platform so that you can share the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do it for every one of you. See, your wound becomes your assignment. Been through loss? Now you can comfort the grieving. Been through struggles? Now you can lift the fallen. Been through failure? Now you can restore the broken. See, my scars have become the doorway to someone else's healing. And it's the same with you. Scars mean you're healed, you're not bleeding. There's a difference between a wound and a scar. A wound is open, and there's some here tonight. You got wounds and they're open. But Jesus says, look at my hands. Look what I did. I did this for you. I did it for you personally. Doesn't matter what that wound and how you got wounded. Jesus says, I'm the healer. I'm in the house tonight. A scar is closed. A wound is opened. But there are some people, and I thought Michaela did such a good job with it. After she knew that God delivered her, the word of God, okay, I got it. But yet, let those chains, she kept carrying that. And there's some in the house that's in that stage right now. There's some that's in that stage. You're carrying it around as if you're still bleeding when God has already healed you. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we were healed. Already we are healed. We're healed. You are not what hurt you. I'm going to say that again. You are not what hurt you. You are what God healed. We have to stop reopening what God has already closed. Stop reliving what God has restored. You're not bleeding anymore. You're building now. There are some that are bleeding, but I believe that God wants to bring healing to you that will become a scar. He wants to heal that. But if we are still bleeding and picking the scab, and we've not allowed God to bring healing, we're missing something so valuable. Because God's got ministry in you and he wants to use you. And we have to allow his healing to take place in our life. God uses scars for his glory. Jesus' scars didn't disqualify him. They identified him. Your story. Your story will point people to God. Isn't it something everyone that's in here, every one of us in here, have a story, have a testimony, and God wants you to use it to point somebody else. See, your scars will introduce somebody to Jesus, somebody around you that needs to know that Jesus heals the brokenhearted. So, tonight, we're going to testify a little bit. Now, if you're in this house and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you haven't asked him in, it's a perfect night. It's a perfect time to say, Jesus, I know I need you, and I know that I am not living right. I know that there's more, and I want the more. I'm here tonight, and I would just invite you, if that's you, don't be ashamed. Walk up here and just kneel before God. Or if you're here and you're bleeding with a wound, you can come. Jesus wants to heal you tonight. But we're going to testify. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. For some, this is going to be testimony of faith. But see, faith activates. Faith activates the power of God. When we speak the word of God, it activates the power of God. Look at somebody, and I just want you to tell them. And maybe somebody beside your spouse or somebody, maybe look at somebody and say, I've got scars. But I'm still standing. I've been wounded, but I'm still worshiping. Come on, I've been wounded, but I'm still worshiping. I've been hurt, but I'm still here. I've been broken, but God has put me back together. And since God brought me through it, he must not be finished with me yet. Because scars don't mean the end. I won't hide my scars. I'll lift my hands with my scars. I won't be ashamed of my scars. I'll testify through them. Because he healed me once. And he can do it again. He brought me out before, and he could bring me out again. I'm still breathing. I'm still praising. I'm still standing. Beyond my scars are testimonies. God wants to bring hope where there's wounds. God wants to bring hope. If you need prayer tonight, please come. If you want somebody to pray with you, please come. This conference, I wrote on top of our schedules for our team, I wrote, the altars are open. And it's not for somebody to just come and make a show or whatever, but it's a heart that's hungry, a heart that needs to humble themselves, a heart that just is speaking to you. Then we say, come. We say, come.
I remember how you provided.
Yes.
How you helped.